Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're preaching on all the parables of the Bible, and I'd like to read to you a few scriptures, Luke 7, 41 through 43, 7, 41 through 43. A certain moneylender, let's go back up a little bit. Go up to verse number 36 for the whole context of this situation. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and laid up to the table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, and she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Now, people could come, they were not guests invited, they cannot partake of the food or the conversation, but they could come and watch. And this woman did that, even though she wasn't welcome in this house. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began or kept on wetting his feet with her tears and kept on wiping them with the hairs of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Now when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, and Jesus could read his heart, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is and who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And I said in one of the previous messages in John, the 4th chapter, when that woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, came to Jesus, his disciples were very, very shocked that he spoke to her. Now, according to the Mishnah and Talmud, which is the explanation or interpretation of the law, it says that a man was very promiscuous if he even spoke to his wife in public, let alone a sinner like this. So when Jesus' disciples came back there in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John, they were really shocked that he had even spoken to this woman. But he spoke to this woman, and she was born again. And she carried the whole town after her out there to see who had touched her heart in such a way. He would know what sort of person this woman is and who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, Say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii, there is a day's wages, basically, and the other 50. And when they were unable to pay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, would love him more? And Simon answered, said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, You have judged correctly. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has sprinkled and poured and rained upon my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but since she came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has forgiven little loves little. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, Your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to them, So who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now let's go back and see what Mr. Lockyer says about these verses. Now we're on page 258. At the very bottom column on the left. Having considered the setting of the parable, we now come to the parable itself and the subject it was intended to illustrate. In this second group, we have another three persons. Three persons. Threes, the law of threes. A certain creditor or moneylender who loaned money to those in need. Here our Lord uses commercial figure of speech to illustrate his lesson. There were moneylenders then as now. Evidently the creditor was a kind and hearted one, as we shall presently see. By implication, Jesus pictured himself in this way, and he is not the divine creditor. Is he not the divine creditor? All of our sins he holds in deposit upon the cross of Calvary, that we will never see them again. We have nothing apart from his gifts, and all of us are deeply, so deeply in his debt, especially me. Jesus has forgiven me much. And if he's forgiven you, he's forgiven you much. I am a debtor, Romans 1:14, Paul said. The one debtor owed 500, about 18 pounds, some $50. According to how you interpret it, it could be 500 days' wages. A debt somewhat modest alongside the great sum referred to in the parable of the unmerciful servant. Jesus knowingly the working of Simon's mind, and that he thought of the woman as being the 500 pence debtor. Aptly applied the figure of speech. Simon felt she was 10 times the sinner that he was. 10 times, that's 10 times, remember. 10 times 50, 500. 10 times the sinner that he was. He would admit he was a sinner, but not such a vile one as this woman. The other debtor owed only 50 pence, about $6. A small sum, hardly worth mentioning as a debt. Being 10 times less than the former, in his estimate, Jesus accepted Simon's valuation of his own degree of guilt at 50 pence. Actually, of course, there are no such degrees in sin. That man, his pride was one of the greatest sins he had. His pride and self-righteousness would probably never allow him to enter into the kingdom of God. Any sin or a number of sins form rebellion against God, whether the sin is that of a hypocrite like Simon or that of a fallen woman, as she was. Then Jesus introduced a most unusual, extraordinary note in his parable, the moneylender. Knowing that neither debtor had anything to pay, forgave them both. Neither debtor had anything to pay him back, so he forgave them both. This canceled obligation in both cases was purely gratuitous act on the part of the creditor. He didn't have to do it. On the ground only of the bankruptcy for the debtors. How astonished Simon must have been as Jesus described the generosity of the money lender. Both were debtors and equally insolvent, and both are equally forgiven. What are you going to do when you come to God without Jesus Christ as your Savior? How can you pay your way through the gates of heaven? There's no amount of money you can do. You can't muster enough. Mankind today, if you could say salvation in heaven is worth $5 million, I think they would try to do it. But most would fail. Then Jesus, concealing his home thrust under the veil of a parable, made his discourteous host pronounce upon the case, which brings us to the third group, namely that of three questions. Three questions. The first was, which of them will love him the most? Which of them will love him the most? Which of them will love him the most? How else could Simon answer somewhat reluctantly, I suppose, that he to whom he forgave the most? He admitted that the man to whom most is forgiven will feel the greatest degree of obligation. That he who is given most should love most. That he was that was forgiven most should love the most. Thus Jesus made Simon pronounce judgment at once on his own misapprehension of the woman's act and his doubt of Christ himself. and the stinted honor he did his guest. The stinted honor that he did his guest. The sins of the woman were many, and she knew it. So did Christ. But he here proclaimed in naked terms the forgiveness of all of her sins. All of them. Her sins were many, but a full pardon brought forth great love. A full pardon brought forth great love. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. The woman was not forgiven because she loved. She was not forgiven because she loved. But loved, she was forgiven. The woman was not forgiven because she loved God, but that God loved her. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For in grace you are having been saved through faith, and that not out of you. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If any man say that he has no sin, he calls God a liar, and the truth is not in him. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For all have sinned, all have gone astray, and missed the mark of the glory of God. While both debtors in the parable were forgiven, and Christ was as willing to forgive Simon as he did the sinful woman, but there's no evidence whatsoever that Simon ever repented or ever asked forgiveness. The woman experienced the joy of salvation. Joy unspeakable. To know that your sins are forgiven by God, the God of glory, is a joyous event. I've talked to people as they were saved many times, and I ask them, how do you feel? And they said, I just want to shout to the top of my lungs. I am forgiven! As Brother Ray led his mother-in-law to the Lord here several months ago, he asked her. He'd been wanting to do this for nearly 50 years, or well, 38 years. And God finally opened the door. And I think that he was as joyous over that moment of salvation and eternal life as she was. The joy of the forgiveness of sins. Simon, do you see this woman? And emphasis here is on two words, you and this. Do you see this woman? Jesus knew the thoughts in Simon's heart and in his mind. He knew that he was what was in man, and the innermost thoughts are known to him. This woman, Simon saw as she was known to be a prolific, abandoned soul of low birth and poor circumstances. A base individual that had to crawl in the gutter of sin. A woman that had to resort to means of using her body to make her way in life. Then Jesus, with delicate politeness, as if hurt at the inattentions of his ghost, as if hurt at the inattentiveness of his host, which, though not invariably shown to guests, were the customary marks of studied respect and regard, laid bare the cold, loveless, disrespectful treatment that Simon had shown him. Our Lord's remark, she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little, is the key to the parable. Who is this that forgives sins? We can imagine how startled the guests of Simon were when they heard that one who was reclining at the same couch, partaking of the same hospitalities, assuming the divine prerogative of forgiving sins. Remember the man that he healed, that one, the paralytic man, and he says, so that they believe, your take up your bed and walk, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Who can forgive sins but God only? Jesus did not deny or soften down such a claim, but enforced it indelibly. He was either then a blaspheming deceiver or God manifest in the flesh. Kai ho logos sarx agenito, and the Jehovah flesh he had become. Literally, in the Greek, it is he became for himself. God brought himself into the world in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And being the latter, he exercised the prerogative of granting a double assurance of forgiveness. He didn't say to Simon, your sins are forgiven, but he told her, her sins were forgiven. A wretch that she was. He announced what was the one secret of the full and free forgiveness of the woman had received, and which carried salvation in its bosom. It was her faith, not her tears, her kisses, her ointment, but her faith in Christ's love for her. Christ's compassion. Thus she became a woman nobly born, because she was born from above, not from below. Then there came that glorious dismissal of the woman in that peace which she had already felt surging through her saved soul. Christ's last word to her is, go in peace. Go in peace. Arenisi phileamu. Go in peace. Peace had become hers. And she receives the Master's full warrant to enjoy that peace and to live in the full realization of peace passing and surpassing all understanding. The lessons of the parable for our hearts are obvious. We are all bankrupt, said debtors in the sight of our heavenly Creator. We're all bankrupt. We don't have a penny to get ourselves into heaven. We have no ticket. We have no key. We don't have a token. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then the best of us, like the worst of us, have nothing wherewith to discharge our debt. But through His willingness to take our debt and make it His own, Christ can now forgive all who truly repent of their sin and turn to Him in faith. You know, you can't even repent of your sins without the grace of God. Repentance is a grace and a gift. Repentance is a gift. This man didn't have it. Simon didn't have it. He didn't have that gift. He wouldn't look at himself as a great sinner. He would not. Too proud. This woman was humble. If you will humble yourself before God and ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul, He will. He's bound to. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If forgiven, then love and devotion to the one who forgave us should be ours. Love and devotion to Him. What makes you want to serve God? Is it the fear of hell? Or the grace of God? Is it the fear of hell, or is it the love of God that has forgiven you of all of your sins, past, present, and future? What a gift. What power. What power it is to forgive sin like that. Freed from the burdensome debt of our sin, our gratitude must be manifested in a life of holiness and of service for the bringing of other sinners to Him who alone can save them also. Those that can be saved We've talked about the investment that God made with us, how that he loved us, and how that he has given us an endowment, a gift to at least profligate one other person, 100% lead one other person in this life to the Lord if you can. In all reality, God promised that promise that we can do it. We can at least make a 100% profit for him. The investment that he's entrusted us with. The love that he's given to us. Ephesians 2:8. Remember once again. For in grace you're having been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto good works. Therein we should walk in them. There is no one righteous, not one, not Simon. Not the woman. The woman, admittedly, she wasn't. For all have gone astray and fallen short of the glory of the God. The woman knew that. Simon wouldn't admit it. For the wages of sin, the just rewards of sin is death. Simon wouldn't admit he was a sinner. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wasn't looking to him for his salvation or forgiveness. She did. For God demonstrates his love toward us in while we were yet sinners. She knew she was a sinner. He wouldn't admit it. Christ died for us. For God so loved the world, that woman, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The one believing in him, and the woman did, and Simon didn't. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. She confessed. She showed her gratitude and she showed her love. He did not. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. She did. He didn't. What category are you in this day? Where are you in your stand for the Lord? Where are you in your stand in relation to salvation? You're either one of two fields, lost or saved. And if you are saved, then you ought to use your abilities to serve him because you're saved. Because you love him. Are you a great sinner like me? I was raised in extremely poor circumstances, like that woman. I was raised in those poor circumstances. I loved a woman like that. A woman like that raised me. And I don't know where I'd be without it. I would never even known love had I not. We see all of these things. We see all of this in our lives. Maybe you were raised in a beautiful home with a wonderful mother and father. Oh, thank God if you have. Ones that led you to the Lord. But so many people like me were not. Raised in a dirt floor shack with no window, no door. Raised in the hardest circumstances to scrap and scrabble for just food to put in your mouth. Yet, that woman born of low estate was raised up to a high estate of being forgiven by Christ forever. And Jesus used her as an example. You heard the word and the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight preached. because of her life and what she did. She asked forgiveness. She looked to Jesus. Will you look to Jesus? Will you ask forgiveness? Will you follow Him and love Him like that woman did? In Jesus' name, we send this message out, Father. I pray for each and every one out there who hears it, that it'll touch their lives in some way, that they'll serve you more, love you more, or that they will be saved. Father, forgive me where I fail you. And guide me in your footsteps. Let your word be a light unto my pathways. Help me to understand it better and help me to communicate it every day for your honor, for your glory, in your will. Please send your spirit with these words that will it'll do their job, and that I can feed your sheep out there wherever they are. In Jesus' precious, holy, forgiving, gracious name, I pray. Amen.